to mention. Then number three, there's the in-the-know gossip. In-the-know information makes you feel important, valuable, interesting, maybe superior. Not content just to know the private personal information, they feel driven to tell someone else what they know. Or this is tweaked a little bit. Sometimes there's pleasure in saying, you know, I'm in the know on that situation, but I can't tell you. Sorry, it's need to know. Right? Proverbs 11:13 says, he who goes about as a tale bearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. You know, when you share personal, private information about someone that is completely unnecessary, it really reveals more about you than it does the other person. Four, the prayer request gossip. You know where I'm going. The gossip starts out with, hey, we need to pray for... So let's agree to some rules about this, can we? Can we do this? I think this is needful. If you're getting ready to share a prayer request about somebody else, make sure you've asked permission to do that. Number two, then ask, what am I free to say about the situation? And please know that it's not unspiritual, it's not inappropriate if you don't want that thing on the church-wide prayer chain. That's perfectly fine. Not a thing wrong with it. Right? Five would be the truth-teller gossip. Now, this gossip doesn't believe his words are gossip. After all, I'm only telling the truth, or at least what he thinks is the truth. But what's wrong with this is the underlying motive. It's certainly not shared out of love or respect for the person being talked about. It doesn't help the person listening to the gossip to love and respect the person being talked about. And I know we don't understand this, and I'm asking the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, to help us feel the weight of this, of the damage that is done by this sort of careless, reckless speech to relationships. Consider Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends, even the best of friends. And in some cases, husbands and wives, people from their churches. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. So when you see someone wounded in sin, are you a paramedic or are you with the paparazzi? You see somebody exposed and vulnerable, are you carrying a healing cover or a camera, hoping to make this thing viral? Six would be the compliment-turned-critic gossip. The gossip starts out as a compliment, but ends with gossip. So it might sound something like this. You know, Veronica, she is a superstar with her clients. I can see why she got the promotion. I just hope her new job doesn't affect her family. Her child struggles in school. And sometimes the gossip comes in response to a compliment. Somebody says, Fred and Ginger's new house is amazing. And then the response, well, it should be. Did you hear how much they paid for that house? It cost them a fortune. All right. Hang on, only two more. Then the avoider gossip. We need to hear these last two. This gossip knows something negative about someone, but is afraid to deal with it face to face. and he reasons that somebody needs to do something. But instead of going to the offending party or to someone who can help, they pass on the information to someone they feel comfortable talking to, hoping the right person will hear the right information and take the right action. All right. Here's the problem. That first of all, this is not motivated by love, but by fear. And here's what ends up happening. I'm speaking from 40 years of pastoral experience. It's also very divisive. Because if I get third or fourth hand information, and I go to the offending person, but I'm not the eyewitness, it makes the offender wonder, well, who else knows about this? And who else is talking about this? All right, beloved, hear the heart of the Lord today. Gossip builds walls, not bridges. And it destroys trust. And I am telling you in a way, my heart is just really full this morning, but I'm telling you right now, when people can't trust, they will not get the help that they need. It keeps people suffering in silence. They do not believe that their issues will be handled respectfully, discreetly. The last one is the jealous gossip. The jealous gossip tries to diminish the life of someone they are jealous of in the eyes of someone else. So a husband might be jealous of another man's lifestyle. But when somebody comments about that lifestyle, he says, well, I happen to know that he got a big inheritance after his father died. Or he's jealous if his wife expresses admiration for another man's character. He says, you know, I happen to know that he and his wife aren't getting along right now. He feels compelled to share something that will diminish the person he's jealous of in the eyes of someone else. All right, so let's get to the good part. Because I'm saying, Lord, give us a vision of how we turn this weakness into a strength. We got to know that we got to go after this thing as if we've been told we had cancer. We got to be aggressive. We need to start with saying, Lord, where do I need to change? Pastor Doug, where do I need to change? If we want change in our church, how important is this? Again, I quote James, James 1:26. He says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Wow. That's how much stock God puts in our ability to have the Holy Spirit control what we say. All right, four practical things for turning this into a strength in our church. Number one, we need to change the way we think of each other if we're going to change the way we talk to and talk about each other. The reason we speak the words that we speak is because of the thoughts that we think. Again, Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. You remember what Paul said, right? Philippians 4:8. He said, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. yes, we might need to think about the things that offend us and in each other and annoy us in each other and irritate us in each other, but that isn't what we're to dwell on. That's not where we're to camp out. That's not what we meditate on. But all the wonderful things that are also true about each other. Remember the context of this verse. We won't take the time, but if you were to go to Philippians 4, that chapter opens with Paul urging the church to help two women who are in conflict, Euodia and Syntyche. Good women partnering in the spread of the gospel, godly women. They got along with everyone else, but they could not get along with each other. Paul said, church, help them. Come alongside them. And he gives this verse to say, in essence, all right, Euodia, Syntyche, church, you already know what's wrong with each other. You already know what you don't like about each other, but that's not all that's true about the other person. Oh, beloved, we are more, so much more than our sins, our failures, and our shortcomings. Amen? Don't let our offenses, irritations, and disappointments be the lens through which we view each other. They do not define us. Paul reminds us that as image bearers of God, there are many things that are wonderful and amazing about that very person who frustrates the fire out of you or who has even hurt you. Let those be the things we focus on and think about. And as that becomes your focus, those will be the things you automatically talk about, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Number two, keep private matters private. Proverbs 25, 9 and 10 says, argue your case with your neighbor and do not reveal the secret of another. Or he who hears it will reproach you, and the evil report about you will not pass away. We all have a role in being diligent to preserve the spirit of unity in the bond of peace. I want you all to know that being discreet, trustworthy with sensitive information is an important part of your testimony as a follower of Jesus. Third, respond wisely to those who want to share gossip with you. Say something like this, all right? If that's true, how can we help this person? Wow, that is herbicide on the noxious weed of gossip. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if anyone's caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. We know what it's like to restore a car. We know what it's like to restore furniture, to even restore a house. God has called us to the business of restoring lives, restoring relationships. How can we help? How can we be a blessing? You can say something like, you know, I'm feeling very uncomfortable with this conversation. Proverbs 20:19 says, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. So you may need to take a radical step. This might cost you a friend if this person will not repent of the habit of doing damage in the body. Determine that your ears will not be a safe harbor for the deadly pirate ships of gossip and slander. That you're not going to receive the stolen goods or the illegal contraband of misinformation, unsubstantiated rumor, murmuring and discontent, and the judging of other people's motives. In And then here's my favorite point. Determined to begin a campaign of encouragement. Romans 12:10. I don't know if we have that one. But it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Give preference to one another in honor. You know what that literally means? The literal Greek translation is outdo one another in showing honor. Now, I'm not talking about what the world does. It seems like every week the entertainment industry has some sort of awards program. I'm not talking about flattering and people-pleasing and manipulating and patronizing and self-promotion and self-congratulations. Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we're in a fallen world. I'm talking about encouraging each other as we try to faithfully follow Jesus. Life is hard. If we're running our race, to shout some encouragement to the person running in the lane next to you. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build up one another. You know, what would happen if every Sunday in this campaign of encouragement, you said, all right, Lord, I'm asking you to put on my heart three people that I can intentionally encourage, affirm, thank, perhaps a note to help them see what you clearly see about them, but that maybe they can't see in themselves. So let me give you two examples of this as we close. Love this story. It's about a math teacher. They were in a pretty tough section of math, and a lot of the kids weren't getting it, and she could tell, she could hear the sighs, and she could tell they were a little frustrated, a little worried that they weren't going to get it. And so she decided to do something for their encouragement. She said, all right, I want you to get out some paper. I want you to list all of your classmates in the room on two sheets of paper, and I want you to leave a space between each name. And she told them to think of the nicest thing they could say about each of their classmates and write it down. It took the remainder of the class period to finish their assignment, and as the students left the room, they handed in their papers. So that Saturday, the teacher wrote down the names of each student on a separate sheet of paper and listed what everyone in the class had said about that student. And on Monday, she gave each student his or her list. So before long, the entire class was smiling. Really? She heard whispered. I never knew that I meant anything to anybody. And she heard, I didn't know others liked me so much. All right, no one ever talked about the papers. Again, the teacher never found out if they talked about it after class or with their parents, but it didn't matter because it had succeeded in bringing the class back together, changed the whole atmosphere of the class. Several years later, one of the students was killed in Vietnam. And his teacher attended the funeral of that special student. She'd never seen a serviceman in a military coffin before. All grown up, so handsome, so mature. Church was packed with his friends, and one by one, those who loved him walked by the casket for their last goodbye. She was the last. And as she stood there, one of the soldiers who acted as a pallbearer said, I understand that you were his math teacher. Yes. Mark talked about you a lot. After the funeral, most of Mark's former classmates went together to a luncheon. Mark's mother and father were also there wanting to speak to the teacher. And they said, we want to show you something. The father took out of his wallet some papers that were folded. He said, they found this on Mark when he was killed. Thought you might recognize it. And Opening the billfold, he carefully removed two worn pieces of notebook paper that had been obviously taped, folded, refolded many times. The teacher knew, without looking, that the papers were the ones on which she had listed all the good things each of Mark's classmates had said about him. "Thank you so much for doing that," Mark's mother said. As you can see, Mark treasured it. So as I thought about that, I just wanted to ask us all this question. Are you known for speaking words that people would want to carry into battle? We're going to close with a video of another group that caught vision of this. Each of the girls stands before the blackboard. They can't see what's being written. Classmates are writing things about them all around them. And then the girl will step forward and turn around and see what was written. And I think you'll be blessed by the reaction. I'm praying it'll be inspirational for our life as a church family. Let's show that now. Worship team would come back, and I think it would be appropriate to give us as a church just an opportunity. Say, Lord, number one, just wash us. Wash us of our careless use of speech, our gossip. Forgive us, Lord, for the damage that we contribute. And you know, I think most of the time it's totally unintended. You just don't know that you have a nuclear arsenal for good or evil here. And we're going to just invite you to come and with some just say, Lord, help us as a church. Cleanse us. And then once we all need to be